Well, good morning to you all, and it's lovely to see you. We seem to, am I coming over, feel a bit echoey. Is that okay? Can you hear me okay? Yeah, I'm coming over very weird. But anyway, there we go, we'll carry on. We seem to be a bit thin this morning, but that's fine. That's okay. That doesn't define that God is any less than he always is here. And it's a joy to see you. And also, hello to anybody who's visiting for the first time. Just to introduce myself, I'm Reverend Peter Myers. I'm the curate here in All Saints. And also, everybody who's joining us online, a very warm welcome to you. Now, as you'll all be aware, we've been doing this series into the nature and character of God. What does God say of himself? And we've been teaching out of Exodus 34. And can we remember those two verses, verses 6 and 7? The Lord, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger. Well done, well done. Maintaining love to thousands and forgiving rebellion, sin and wickedness, which we'll get on to next week. So you must come back to that. But we're taking a short step out of that and focusing on harvest today. And Pathfinders and the youth are going to stay in. The children will go out at one point. But we're going to focus on harvest today. Now, before we worship, just a number of things to things that are going on. Next Saturday, we have a bereavement workshop here. If you would like to join us in that, we're going to, for those who are in bereavement, so many of us have experienced grief or bereavement over the last 18 months and much more before as well. And if you'd like to be involved in that workshop, please let us know. We're going to teach and engage and continue our journey of grief at that. And that'll be here. Previously, other information, it was going to be All Saints, but it'll actually be here. The other main notice I'd love us to be aware of and continue is that Youth Alpha begins tomorrow, doesn't it? Looking around at George. Yes, it does. And I know there's something like 18 young people signed up already, which is just, you know, praise God for that. You know, if those 18 come for one session, eat pizza, but hear about the goodness of God on one time, that is just amazing. But there will be many will can continue on that. So that's just wonderful. And the other one is that there's a ladies' quiet day coming up in October. If you'd like to get involved in that, then please sign up. Let people know for catering and other reasons to know. But an appointment with God, that's a ladies' quiet night. And finally, the monthly men's breakfast next Saturday. That seems like a good place to fuel up. And then perhaps if you want to then join the bereavement after that. Right, those are the notices. Let us now turn our hearts and welcome the Lord. Can I invite you to stand? I don't know what your morning's been like. If you've got children, it's probably been pretty busy. Maybe it's been a quiet morning for you and you've arrived with a gentle heart. But let's just for a moment take a deep breath and welcome the Lord. To still ourselves from the busyness of modern life. My prayer is that you would know God's love for you today. So let us say these opening responses. I'll say the yellow, and if you respond with the white. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you among us as we come to celebrate your harvest and to pray for your justice. We also ask you to bring your peace, to allow the quiet place inside us to speak. In stillness, may we be at one with you. Amen. And as we prepare for worship now, we know our good lives can be tangled with thorns. Thorns of failure and sadness, tangles of duties and demands. Lord, cut away the thorns that wound and choke. Free us to live and to grow in your light. Holy Spirit of God, we invite you among us. So we're going to sing about the goodness of God. Children, if you want to, with mums, dads, grandparents, come down. There's some musical instruments. Come and make some noise. Come and make some space. But let us worship the Lord.
Yeah, I need as many of you as possible to play these instruments because I haven't got Barry playing the drums today. So come on, everybody. So we're going to start just leading into our praise with a chorus of a song which just expresses what an awesome God we worship. God is an awesome God. He creation looks to you. All provision comes from you. In every rhythm we thank you for your love. All creation looks to you. All provision comes from you. In every rhythm we thank you. Thank you, all you down at the front. That was brilliant.
Fantastic. Thank you. Please take a seat. Now, I need six helpers, really. Six helpers. There's three hands up, four hands up. Could you stand up and stand on, I'll tell you what, why don't you stand on the top steps? Digby, do you want to come and help? No, that's okay. Does anyone? Now, I could do with three other people who'd come up. You can be any age. Come on up. So we could be here for a long time. George, well done. Need one more? Well done, Christine. Well done. Right, now, don't show anybody what's on your particular piece of paper at this moment. Okay. They can see through. Oh, well, there's the planning. There's the planning. It's all gone wrong already. So I'm after, what's another word for harvest? Did someone? Bounty. Oh, I like that. Another one? Gathering. Great. Yeah. What did you, Callum, what did you say? Food. Yeah. There's all sorts of harvest is the fruit of what we've been growing, or the verb to harvest, gathering, someone said, which is wonderful. So, food, fruit. Christine, what's, no, hold on, Alfie. What's on there? Got a letter. K. So, what's some fruit beginning with the letter K? Keely. Very good. Any others? Kamquat. Great. Well, I think you've done very well. I was really struggling. I came up with kale. So, kale. Carrot. Now, what's on yours? What have we got on there? Now we've got A. Right, A. Aubergine. Avocado. Are we middle class or what? Okay. What? Another one? Aubergine. Apple. Apricot. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, just hold, keep your letter, Alfie. Sky, what have you got on yours? An N. Fruit, N, nectarine, nuts, maybe. Any others? It's quite difficult, isn't it? Right. Christine, what have you got? H. What's that? Any other H's? Other, yes, those two. Absolutely. Right. Well done. George, what have we got? Tea. Tomato. Tangerines. Tangerines. Well done. And finally, what have we got? S. Satsuma. Callum. Strawberries, yes, that's nice. Okay, well done. Thank you for that. That's all wonderful fruit. So, but Harvest Festival is about something, isn't it? So I'm just wondering, George, if I got you to take charge, I wonder if you could reorganize those letters to think of a word. George, I'm putting you in a difficult position, aren't I? I know. You come and stand. George, you come and stand here. Christine, come and stand on the other side. No, you go and stand next to George. There we go. Move over. Now lift up your letters. Thanks. Well done. So Harvest Festival is all obviously, about thanking God's provision, bringing in the harvest. Now, many of us, I know there's some farmers here, but there are a few of us that really are very close to those fields and the harvest, and some of us may have vegetable patches, which is a joy. But what else are harvests in our life? I'd love you to turn to the person next to you and just ask the question, what are you thankful for today? Or what can you be thankful for today? So just for a moment, turn to one another. And guys, you can go and return to your families and go and ask. Thank you very much. Go and ask. Go and tell those that with you what you are thankful for today. Thanks, guys. Good. Let me draw you back. The fact there was lots of noise, I hope, means there's lots of things to be thankful for. Now, part of today is also just we're connecting with the Fletchers, who are a mission partners of us in Thailand, and they work for a charity called Urban Neighbours of Hope. And John Fletcher is actually going to bring us our teaching later via video, and we're going to listen to him. He works with the poor. He works with those in the slums of Thailand. And here is a video that tells of the overarching work that they do.
Hi, we are Urban Neighbours of Hope Thailand. We make our homes in neighbourhoods facing urban poverty and seek to join in with God's kingdom coming in these places. Right now we have workers in three neighbourhoods. The Bestfords are in Lock 3, the Fletchers are in Rong Mu, the Porters are in Pe Giap over the river. And this year we have Steve and Joanne Sanglier partnering with us in our exciting plans. Our rhythms of life focus around the slow work of relational presence in our neighbourhoods and amongst our neighbours. We listen and learn, support and encourage, amplify voices and ask serious questions about what would make a difference. How can we partner to break the cycles of urban poverty here? This is where our projects come in, practical expressions of our presence here. We run kids clubs with the hope of contributing to a safe, strong start in life. We have the Roy Rack Jewellery Project, which employs local women and gives much needed wage stability and a platform from which to better their family lives.
And this year we're trialling something new, an apprenticeship programme within our existing Roy Rack project. In listening to the youth in our neighbourhoods, their aspirations for future work are shockingly low. And if something gets in the way of staying in school, family chaos, needing to care for parents or younger siblings, having a baby of their own, then their options are even more limited. Together with our wonderful community project manager, Bui, who has teenage girls of her own, we designed a one-year vocational training program to bring hope to this need. We're offering this to young people in our neighbourhoods, and we have one young woman signed up ready to start now. While completing her education, she'll work with us part-time and join in with other development opportunities with the Royrack Women, learning about barista skills and customer service in the hospitality stream, the ins and outs of running a small business in the small business stream. She will learn first aid, motorbike maintenance, and hopefully pass her driving test in the life skills stream. And she will be coached, mentored, and helped to dream in the personal development stream. Our hope for this year is that as we navigate our own life circumstances, the growth, development, and hope of the people we work with will spill over from them to us and onto you. We're in this together. Be encouraged. These are the signs of the kingdom coming. This is what God wants, justice to roll on like a river.
Please stand with us in this work. If you can donate financially, please do. We need funds for paying fair wages for our staff and apprentices, and for the behind-the-scenes admin, our building, our admin staff, all the vital support things in the background. And please pray for us. If you want to connect with us, find us at www.unoh.org. Thanks.
So we partner them. We support them. We're going to hear from John further in a moment in our teaching. But as he said, be encouraged. We're all in this together. And there are lots of people who do not have what we have and struggle. And that's locally as well as overseas. But we stand together and can give thanks that God can provide for all. So let's draw all that together and let us stand and say a prayer of thanksgiving before the children are going to go out just for the period of our teaching and then they'll return afterwards. So can I invite us to stand? And at this moment, remembering the things that you were thankful for a moment ago. And as we've just heard about what the Fletchers are involved in the slums of Thailand, let us remember this. God's world is an island of life and beauty, formed of stardust warmed by the sun. Below us lies molten rock. Above us stretches cold vacuum. We live between our home, this thin strip of soil, water and air, in which we share our lives together, which is alive with the Holy Spirit, upon which Jesus lived, died, and rose again, from which God's harvest comes. So God, we thank you for our home on earth. We thank you for our lives together. We thank you for your love and care. We thank you for your harvest. Great. Well, that'll start. So the children, please take a seat. The children are going to go out with Helen now. Pathfinders and that are staying with us to listen and be a part of that. And just as they go, we, Lord, bless them. May they encounter you in their group. And so John's going to teach us, and his son Sam is going to read from the Bible, and that will become apparent in just a moment.
The Bible contains over 2,000 verses concerned with poverty. And there's a strong theme throughout the Bible about our riches and our poverty. If we've been Christians for a while or have read the Bible, we know this stuff. And yet with so much of the Word of God, we find this so confronting, and it speaks truth into all sorts of situations we find ourselves in here and now. So in UNO, we wanted to visit the Bible's teaching on poverty in one brief, broad sweep. This is one talk of a series of four. Poverty in God's law, poverty in the prophets, poverty in the Messiah, and poverty in the early church. So today, poverty in the Messiah. We'll dip into how Jesus, as the living word, deepens, develops, and perfects the rest of the Bible's teaching on poverty. Our reading today is from Matthew 5, 1-16.
Matthew 5, 1-16. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven."
So before we get to the verses themselves, a little bit of background. Matthew is writing to Jewish followers of Christ, probably living in the ancient city of Antioch, many of whom were refugees from the Jewish War of AD 66 to 70. So displaced people fleeing violence, often fleeing with what they could carry and forced to start life from scratch. And many other Jewish followers of Christ who had migrated to Antioch for work after being driven off their land to the south, say in Galilee. They were driven off their land because of debt and repossession of their land when they couldn't keep up with repayments. This is the very same rural-urban push that fills our communities of the Klong Toei slum even today. Seeking refuge from violence or hard economic circumstances often lands people at the bottom of the pile. Here, that means finding accommodation and work in slums, beginning what is often a multi-generational poverty trap that's difficult to escape from. What does that mean in your setting? Matthew's readers were very much on the underside of society, the underside of wealth, the underside of power, the underside of status. What does that mean for those of us that find ourselves in positions of privilege today? Economic privilege, racial privilege, gender, educational or other forms of privilege. How are we to understand these seemingly simple sayings? In our passage today, Matthew presents to us the longest collection of Jesus' teaching, the Sermon on the Mount, familiar to us. And this first section is very familiar, the section we call the Beatitudes. As readers of Matthew, we need to remember that we are reading literature that was not firstly written for us. We are looking, in a sense, through a window not only of time and place and culture, but also of privilege, listening in on a story by and for those on the underside. The first question we must ask is not, what do these words say to me, but what do these words say to them? What hope does this story hold for those on the underside? Only then might those of us who, to be honest, can be short-sighted because of our privilege, blinded to the realities of life for those on the underside. Only then might we be able to ask, how might I find a place in the story? My temptation is to jump straight in and place myself right there, sat on the mountainside, a follower of Jesus, hearing those words spoken to me. But let's pause that temptation for a moment. Who was the crowd on the mountainside? How did they hear those words? Who is Matthew writing to? How did they hear those words? If we're to understand Jesus's and Matthew's meaning, we need to do this bit of extra work first. In verses 1 to 16, we find the Beatitudes, Jesus pronouncing certain kinds of people blessed, as well as some sayings about salt and light. Now, to hear these sayings correctly, we need to understand how Galilean peasants were seen by outsiders, especially by the ruling class in Jerusalem. The mountainside is full of Galilean peasants. Conditions were becoming increasingly difficult for Galilean peasants. The demands of taxes and tithes of empire and church were bearing down heavily on these people on the underside. The occupying Romans were forcing a switch from a barter economy, where you grow what you grow and swap it, to a cash economy, where you need real money. So taxes had to be paid not in kind, with a percentage of the annual crops, but in cash, which in turn meant that peasant farmers were forced to grow cash crops like grains and olives and grapes. Now, these could fetch higher prices at market, but if not sold, they were not the kind of crops that could provide for all the sustenance needs of the village. A cash economy also meant that farming families were always one bad harvest or one piece of misfortune away from falling into a downward spiral of borrowing, debt, and subsequent repossession of their land. Imagine an illness and being unable to bring in a harvest on time, a crop ruined, no money. You borrow money with interest rates to pay taxes and eat, but you can't keep up with repayments. Eventually, your family's home and land is repossessed. Now, Matthew's readers in Antioch would have been very familiar with this series of events, many of them having faced exactly these circumstances and so travelled to the city to find work. Economic refugees, we could call them. In fact, as we hear the stories of our neighbours here in Clongteuil, this succession of events is exactly how they tell of their family's arrival in Bangkok's biggest slum. But back to Galilee. For many, these economic circumstances meant little or no time or resources to engage in religious obligations, like proper observance of the Sabbath or tithing to the temple in Jerusalem. They were just trying to stay alive. This meant that they were looked down on by the Judeans to the south, and in particular those connected with the temple. They were seen as impure because their religious observance was lacking. As we look over the whole sweep of the Bible's teaching on poverty, we will see that it's not only about money. So many of the words used for poverty actually carry the meaning of oppression, about people unfairly treated, squashed, kept down. Poverty is a lack of choice to live God's way, a lack of options to choose shalom. Fascinatingly, here in Matthew, it's the religious oppression, the label that these Galilean peasants are impure, or less than, or not good enough, that Jesus is dealing with. On top of this derisive view of the Galileans' purity was the fact that in the dominant worldview, as it is in Thailand actually, it was understood that if someone was suffering hardship, for example, if someone was poor or had a disability or a disease or was suffering some kind of misfortune, it was because they had in some way sinned and were being punished by God. Think of when Jesus was asked, who sinned that this man was born blind? Where's the cause for this? So the people that Jesus is speaking to are a delegitimized people, derided and despised. A delegitimized people, derided and despised. You can imagine the people around asking, is the way you're living legitimate? Are you upright and pure? Are you pulling your weight? Are you acceptable to society? Just pause for a moment and see who comes to your own mind in our context now. Who might we consciously or subconsciously question in these ways today? Is the way you're living legitimate? Are you upright and pure? Are you pulling your weight? Are you acceptable to society? But it's to these people that Jesus brings words of affirmation. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus is redefining the identity of these people. They're not illegitimate. They're not less than. They're not to be despised. They're blessed. They carry God's blessing. In other words, if you want to know where God's blessing is, don't look for it amongst the elite in the Jerusalem temple, because you'll find it right here amongst these marginal communities of Galilean peasants. Let's just come back to that. Jesus is speaking words of affirmation to a group of delegitimized people who are derided and despised. Galilean peasants who are surviving on the underside of wealth, power, and status. Matthew's readers are a group of delegitimized people who are derided and despised. Communities trying to survive on the underside of wealth, power, and status. This affirmation must have been such a comfort for them. Let's zoom out for a minute. In the central teaching of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the Sermon on the Mount, he is concerned with making sure that those struggling in poverty, those on the underside of society, know that the world's view of them, that they're impure, not good enough, cursed, that is not true. As they are in their poverty, not living up to the expectations of the religious elite, Jesus pronounces them blessed. Contrast Jesus' pronouncement with the response of empire and church. The occupying Romans enforcing a switch to caste economy that was creating debt and repossession. You are only worth what you can pay. The religious leaders and the Pharisees despising the Galilean peasants because, in their desperation to survive poverty, their religious observance was not up to scratch. They couldn't keep up with the religious purity code. You are only worth what religious observance you can show. I wonder if we are in danger of both of these. The economic system of today is balanced to make sure that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. There's this gap. In what ways does our participation in that system say that it's okay? Why choose the highest interest savings account, knowing that that interest comes from others paying rates on what they needed to borrow? In our churches, where are we too concerned with a purity code? Or who is in or out? Who fits with how we would like to see religious observance? Maybe attending on a Sunday or paying in or serving on a rota. Rather than desperately trying to remove the barriers to people following Jesus in whatever circumstances they find themselves in. Well, Jesus turns all this on its head. The central message of this short passage is this. Jesus says, if you want to see God's blessing, you find it among the poor, right in the middle of these marginal communities. What a comfort to Matthew's readers struggling to survive urban poverty in Antioch. What a comfort to our neighbours here in Khong Toei. What a comfort to the people we know of who are delegitimated, derided and despised. Now, I'm sure that the Beatitudes speak comfort into all sorts of our own personal circumstances. But let's not miss the radical point that Jesus is making here in pronouncing blessed those that are actually oppressed by the empire and the church. I remember seeing a glimpse of the affirmation that Jesus intends to have people on the underside a few years ago. Our friend and neighbour and colleague Noi has a son who has cerebral palsy and epilepsy. Noi grew up in Klong Toi slum, had a baby boy, and he received such horrific mistreatment of fitting as a baby that she took home her son with a very oxygen-deprived brain.
Now in Thailand, like the dominant worldview of the Galilean crowd on the mountainside, Thai Buddhism teaches that if someone is poor or has a disability or a disease or is suffering some kind of misfortune, it's because they have in some way sinned or their parents have sinned. This is gamma or karma. The suffering is to be suffered. It's deserved. As a friend and a colleague in Yuno, Noi has heard again and again that Jesus views things differently. Jesus proclaims these otherwise despised and suffering people as blessed, not illegitimate, not less than, but to be celebrated, included. One Thai custom to seek luck and blessing is to allow a certain section of hair to be left uncut and plaited and the rest of the head shaved. This was common years ago, but now it really marks out either a worried or superstitious parent, or a child with a health problem, someone needing that extra blessing. At around the age of 11, the knot of hair gets ceremonially cut off at the temple. We all went along to Bart's knot-cutting ceremony, and it started so well. He was enjoying himself, it was peaceful. Then the monk leading the proceedings started on his sermon. Bart was to be pitied. His condition had to be suffered. It must be because he sinned, maybe in a previous life. He deserves this. Or maybe you, Noi, you sinned, you deserve this. Those of us listening were horrified. But then I looked at Noi, and the words of the monk were like water off a duck's back. They just seemed to bounce off her. We asked her about it later, and she answered, "I know my son is beautiful. I know my son is made in God's image. I won't hear those words spoken over him." His identity is precious. In some way that maybe we can't get our heads around, Jesus would label him as blessed. Now this blew us away. This was a sign of the blessing that Jesus is bringing to the very people that Jesus intends this blessing for. So as we look afresh at these very familiar words, I hope that we may become more and more in line with what Jesus is doing here. May we be people who also see and seek God's blessing amongst those on the underside of society. May we be quicker to use words of affirmation and inclusion rather than words of derision and scorn. May we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, this Jesus, who speaks words of blessing into a place of pain. Thank you.
So on a day when we come to give thanks for the harvest, it's a timely reminder to think of also the poor in our society. And I'd love us to respond just by asking some questions in our own hearts. What does the Spirit stir in you as a result of what John has spoken? Do you recognize for yourself a poverty in your own experience? And what I mean by that, as John was talking about the language of oppression, is there something about your life where you have experienced oppression, behavior, rejection, financial challenges, where you found yourself on the underside of society, and therefore you need to know that you are blessed and that God loves you and the good news of the gospel is spoken afresh to you today? Or do you perhaps need to consider where we view others and perhaps are part of that privilege, and unwittingly or wittingly we have delegitimized and derided others, made judgments about other people's circumstances or conditions? So we're just going to go into a time of silence. And I'm going to just encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit to come and stir your heart. Do you need to repent of something? Do you need to hear the message of love and blessing for yourself this morning? So let us pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Lord, thank you for the gifts that so many have brought today to share with those that physically have lack. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to support those in so many ways, as we do as a church community, those who are on the underside. Thank you that we can encourage and support the Fletchers and other mission partners who are working with those who are on the underside of society around the world. And continue to do a work in us, Lord, in our hearts, in us as a community, as individuals, to be able to see the blessed around us. And as our vision is, that as we say in our vision, that we are a blessing, we are blessed to be a blessing. And help us to be a blessing to those around us, on our front lines, at the school gate, in the workplace, on our streets, in the shopping queues, and wherever we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Debbie, we're now going to continue worship the children. Are going to come out. Nick, would you go and let Helen know? And the children are going to come in, and then Helen is going to lead us in some harvest prayers.
Do stay seated or stand, whichever feels right for you. It's time for us to lift the songs we sing. Turn our good intentions into action. To bring the kind of worship you deserve. And move beyond our self-absorbed distractions.
Thank you. to our prayers now, and we're going to pray with the help of some apples and our imagination. So in the pockets of the chairs on the end of the row are apples. So if you'd like to distribute them so everyone has one. So children, you might want to go back to your grown-ups. And if you haven't got an apple, we've got a basket of apples here, so you can... Lovely. There's some on the windowsill now, Debbie. Oh, yeah. No, not... Yeah, that's the display. On the windowsill. Debbie? Oh, okay. Right, so don't eat your apple yet, basically. You didn't eat your apple yet. I can't see it that way. But we're going to use them to pray, and so I'm hoping that both children and adults will be able to... to stand a bit nearer, we'll be able to join in with this, so on different levels, obviously. So first of all, I just want you to hold the apple in your hands and feel the roundness of the apple and think about the world that we live in. So quietly, in your heads and in your hearts, thank God for our planet and pray for things that are not good in the world. I'm just going to give you a moment of quiet to do that, and then I'm going to say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the earth that you created. We're sorry that we've not looked after it as we should, and for the pollution in the oceans. Please help us to look after your world. Amen. So as you hold the apple in your hands, think about the food that we have to eat. And quietly, in your heads and hearts, say thank you to God for your food and pray for people who do not have enough to eat. Father in heaven, thank you for the food we have today. Thank you for the farmers who've been generous with their time and grow and harvest our food and these apples. Please help us to share what we have so that everyone has what they need. Amen. Okay, as you hold the apple in your hands, have a look at the reds and greens and see how different your apple is to perhaps the person who's sitting next to you, if you haven't eaten it yet. So quietly in your hearts and your heads, pray for people around the world and that you know that do not get along together. So you might want to particularly think about the slums of Bangkok and how those people are treated by other people in Thailand, or it may be someone closer to home. So just think quietly in your heads and hearts and pray for those people that are different. Dear God, thank you for all people being different and for all the people here today. Help us to get along with people who are different from us. Amen. As you hold your apple in your hands, have a look at the surface. Are there lumps and bumps or blemishes? You might see. Quietly in your heads and hearts, think about people you know who are sick or sad or lonely, and ask God to help them. Dear Lord, thank you for the medicines and doctors who help us when we're sick. Please comfort all people who are unwell or sad or lonely today. Amen. Okay, this is the last one. As you hold the apple in your hands, think about what's inside, how that apple will taste, and right in the middle, those little tiny seeds that have the potential to grow into new apple trees, producing fruit in the future. Quietly in your heads and your hearts, say thank you to God for the variety and flavours of the food we eat and for his amazing provision and creation. Father God, thank you for the seeds that grew these apples. Thank you for the seeds that grew these apples. Thank you for the bees that pollinate the flowers. Help us to grow like seeds into generous people. Amen. Thank you all very much. You may eat your apple if you haven't got a cooking apple. If you don't want to eat your apple and you don't, please do take them home. But if you don't want to take them home, perhaps you could just pop them in the basket at the back so that I don't have to find them next week all gone. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The King of Glory.
Well, thank you for the harvest of worship that's been going down here. Thank you for all the gifts that you have brought today and placed. If you've still got other things, do place them on the table at the back and we'll make sure that they get to the right places. But bless you on this harvest festival day. And so may God, our Creator, who clothes the lilies and feeds the birds of the air, bestow on you his care and increase the harvest of your righteousness. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us now and always. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen. Blessings on you all. Thank you very much. Enjoy coffee. I think it's tea and coffee outside. And we'll see you next week. And biscuits. A harvest. Abundance.
Children, I see.